But first, it's 7 minutes past nine, and you would have heard in the news a man in his 70s is dead and dozens of people are injured after a flight from the United Kingdom to Singapore was hit by severe turbulence. Now, the 73-year-old British man died, they think, from a suspected heart attack, but more than 30 people were taken to hospital after the Singapore Airlines flight diverted to Bangkok. Have a listen to one of the passengers.
And suddenly, the plane plunged. They said 6,000 feet. It was a long way, and so sudden, there was no warning at all. And I ended up hitting my head on the ceiling. My wife did. Some poor people who were walking around ended up doing somersaults. It was absolutely terrible. The staff did their best to tend to the injured people. There were a lot of them. And some of the staff were injured themselves, so they did a sterling job.
Pretty frightening stuff. We're joined now by James Nixon, retired A380 pilot. Thanks for your company, but not in great circumstances today, James.
Hi, Deb. No, it's a bad day for aviation.
Yeah, it's terrifying, really. James, what causes turbulence in the first place?
Well, there's a few causes of turbulence. It's all meteorological is the thing. Clear air turbulence, which is, as it says, unseen, but it is forecast, and we get told about it beforehand. There's also jet streams, which are areas of fast-moving air. When we go in and out of it, there's turbulence. That's how we get a free ride on the way home from Perth during September, when you get these very strong jet streams that go around the planet. Excuse me. We also have thunderstorms. Well, we're not allowed to fly into thunderstorms because they're so turbulent. They've got ice inside them with the hailstones, so we avoid flying into thunderstorms. So that wouldn't be the case. We also have wake turbulence, which is more prevalent with so many airplanes flying around the world. The airplane, if there's an airplane above you, the wake from that airplane falls down at 500 feet per minute, and you've sort of got to visualize it. It's invisible, but you've got to work out where it's going in your mind's eye and make sure that you put your plane outside that turbulence as it's dissipating as it descends. So that's probably what's happened here, is they've flown into the wake of a big aeroplane above, like an A380. It's pretty busy, that airspace. There's ways of handling this, and the pilots sometimes get it right, sometimes get it wrong.
So wake turbulence, is that a bit like when you drive past a truck and you get pulled into its slipstream?
Same sort of thing. It's the air's disturbed by the plane above. And it's caused by the way the wings work, which leaves these tiny little spiraling eddies behind, like a little chain, and they fly through the air, and we run into them, and it's pretty bumpy. In and out, it's very, very quickly. You know, you might get one wing might get it, and it'll make a big bang on the wing. I'm concerned that this passenger was saying that the plane immediately went into a descent. We know they went from 37,000 feet, 38,000 feet in the cruise. When they started their descent, their turn towards Bangkok for the diversion, then they descended to 31,000 feet. But it seems that this passenger is saying that happened during the turbulence. Hard to understand. Have to wait for more information.
Will the black box give us that information?
The black box will tell us the parameters that the airplane experienced, and it tells us the wind, if it's moved into different wind shifts. It tells us the direction and speed of the wind around the airplane at the time and the speed that the airplane was doing. You know, there's another thing called pilot-activated turbulence that we don't really like to talk about when the pilots get it wrong, and that's if the airplane, for example, moves into a pool of warmer air and the speed goes faster and they try to arrest the speed and they might disconnect the autopilot. Well, up there, the molecules are a long way apart, so the autopilot handles that up to 20 times a second. When a ham-fisted pilot grabs hold of the controls, they have to be very, very gentle, and sometimes pilots make the mistake and actually cause more turbulence.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to James Nixon, who's a retired Emirates pilot, about what could have been the cause of many people being injured on the Singapore Airlines flight. So to get to the bottom of that, though, I asked about the black box. Is that where that information will come from when they investigate this?
Well, the black box is a big drama to get that out of the airplane and read it, and they usually don't do that because they can quickly find a thing called a quick access recorder, which is like a CD, and they can pull that out and very quickly read that. That gives them pretty much all the same parameters, and they get a quick handle on what happened. The pilot reports, of course, will give us even more information. We can fix most of the injuries by leaving our seatbelts on, which is the big takeaway from this. You know, pilots tell you every time we do a PA, please just leave your seatbelt securely fastened like we do here in the flight deck. And we expect people to do that, but of course they don't.
Mm. And I presume that's just to stop people flying up when you lose altitude this quickly.
Yeah, well, it's not really losing altitude. It's just, it's not as if there's no such thing as an air pocket where the plane's flying along and suddenly there's like a pothole that you fall into. It doesn't really work like that. But the way the plane moves around within the air, it's already moving at nearly the speed of sound forward. And so it doesn't take much fluttering in the wings to make it change just a little bit, which is all it needs to become turbulent.
Even in an ideal world, though, James, if all the passengers have their seatbelts on, the flight attendants are always, or almost always, standing up and walking around. Like, how do airlines mitigate that risk? Do they have any special training, or do we just accept that they're going to hit the roof in instances like this?
No. Well, if we have any idea the cabin crew are going to be damaged, we don't let them out of their seats. And so we quite often modify the meal service by looking at the SIG weather prognosis charts. Significant weather is what the meteorologists determine for us, and they're pretty much spot on all the time. So we look at those before the flight. We'll say, listen, we're going to delay the meal service until we get past Phuket in this situation. We might do it a bit later. And the cabin crew, that they plan their service based on that. I've had a situation, the worst ever of my days, was flying from Dubai down to Accra in Ghana in Africa. And after we passed Abu Dhabi for 9 hours, we had turbulence and the cabin crew weren't allowed out of their seats for the whole nine-hour flight. So these things happen. We don't let people walk around if we think it's going to be dangerous.
Mm. But clearly it happens without pilots' warning, as has happened, as is evident with this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty rare, but it does happen.
I want to just quickly go back to this wake turbulence, because I'd never heard of that. So the slipstream that other aircraft create that can cause a bumpy ride for you, how do pilots keep track of that? Because like you said, this is a busy route. How do you know, and like what sort of time frame is it for that to dissipate after a plane's gone through an airspace?
About 5 minutes. It falls down at 500 feet per minute, and so you've got it in your mind's eye. Every time you see a plane, you can visualise in your mind's eye where it's going. And air traffic controllers, especially when we're moving around a high-capacity airspace, around like Melbourne Airport or Sydney Airport, the controllers are always making sure that we're not flying through each other's wake. It's a bit of an effort because the wind's making an effect and the wind's blowing it off track or on track. We also divert the track of the aeroplane off 1, 2, or 3 miles offset to the right of our track to mitigate this. And so depending on which way the weather's going, you'll find that the guys who fly the A380s, which are the biggest cause of wake turbulence, because the heaviest aeroplane causes the heaviest turbulence, they'll put the aeroplane in a situation where it's less damage to other aeroplanes flying below it.
Always fascinating to chat with you. Just, shame it's under terrible circumstances today. Thanks for your time again, James.
My pleasure, Debbie. See you soon.
James Nixon there. He's a retired pilot from Emirates, which is why he's interesting to talk to, because he can tell us all this behind-the-scenes information and, of course, the exact details about what happened on this particular flight, the Singapore Airlines flight, will be revealed in time. But first, it's 7 minutes past nine, and you would have heard in the news a man in his 70s is dead and dozens of people are injured after a flight from the United Kingdom to Singapore was hit by severe turbulence. Now, the 73-year-old British man died, they think, from a suspected heart attack, but more than 30 people were taken to hospital after the Singapore Airlines flight diverted to Bangkok. Have a listen to one of the passengers.
And suddenly, the plane plunged. They said 6,000 feet. It was a long way, and so sudden, there was no warning at all. And I ended up hitting my head on the ceiling, my wife did. Some poor people who were walking around ended up doing somersaults. It was absolutely terrible. The staff did their best to tend to the injured people. There were a lot of them. And some of the staff were injured themselves, so they did a sterling job.
Pretty frightening stuff. We're joined now by James Nixon, retired A380 pilot. Thanks for your company, but not in great circumstances today, James.
Hi, Deb. No, it's a bad day for aviation.
Yeah, it's terrifying, really. James, what causes turbulence in the first place?
Well, there's a few causes of turbulence. It's all meteorological is the thing. Clear air turbulence which is, as it says, unseen, and but it is forecast, and we get told about it beforehand. There's also jet streams, which are areas of high fast-moving air. When we go in and out of it, there's turbulence. That's how we get a free ride on the way home from Perth during September, when you get these very strong jet streams that go around the planet. Excuse me. We also have thunderstorms. Well, we're not allowed to fly into thunderstorms because they're so turbulent. They've got ice inside them with the hailstones, so we avoid flying into thunderstorms. So that wouldn't be the case. We also have wake turbulence, which is more prevalent with so many airplanes flying around the world. The airplane, if there's an airplane above you, the wake from that airplane falls down at 500 feet per minute. And you've sort of got to visualize it. It's invisible, but you've got to work out where it's going in your mind's eye and make sure that you put your plane outside that turbulence as it's dissipating as it descends. So that's probably what's happened here, is they've flown into the wake of a big airplane above, like an A380. It's pretty busy, that airspace. There's ways of handling this, and the pilots sometimes get it right, sometimes get it wrong.
So wake turbulence, is that a bit like when you drive past a truck and you get pulled into its slipstream?
Same sort of thing. It's the air is disturbed by the plane above, and it's caused by the way the wings work, which leaves these tiny little spiraling eddies behind, like a little chain, and they fly through the air, and we run into them, and it's pretty bumpy. In and out, there's very, very quickly, you know, you might get one wing might get it, and it'll make a big bang on the wing. I'm concerned that this passenger was saying that the plane immediately went into a descent. We know they went from 37,000 feet, 38,000 feet in the cruise when they started their descent, their turn towards Bangkok for the diversion. Then they descended to 31,000 feet. But it seems that this passenger is saying that that happened during the turbulence. Hard to understand. Have to wait for more information.
Will the black box give us that information?
The black box will tell us the parameters that the airplane experienced, and it tells us the wind, if it's moved into different wind shifts. It tells us the direction and speed of the wind around the airplane at the time and the speed that the airplane was doing. You know, there's another thing called pilot-activated turbulence that we don't really like to talk about when the pilots get it wrong, and that's if the airplane, for example, moves into a pool of warmer air and the speed goes faster, and they try to arrest the speed and they might disconnect the autopilot. Well, up there, the molecules are a long way apart, so the autopilot handles that up to 20 times a second. When a ham-fisted pilot grabs hold of the controls, they have to be very, very gentle, and sometimes pilots make the mistake and actually cause more turbulence.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to James Nixon, who's a retired Emirates pilot, about what could have been the cause of many people being injured on the Singapore Airlines flight. So to get to the bottom of that, though, I asked about the black box. Is that where that information will come from when they investigate this?
Well, the black box is a big drama to get that out of the airplane and read it. And they usually don't do that because they can quickly find a thing called a quick access recorder, which is like a CD, and they can pull that out and very quickly read that. That gives them pretty much all the same parameters, and they get a quick handle on what happened. The pilot reports, of course, will give us even more information. We can fix most of the injuries by leaving our seatbelts on, which is the big takeaway from this. You know, pilots tell you every time we do a PA, please just leave your seatbelt securely fastened like we do here in the flight deck. And we expect people to do that, but of course they don't.
Mm. And I presume that's just to stop people flying up when you lose altitude this quickly.
Yeah, well, it's not really losing altitude. It's not as if there's no such thing as an air pocket where the plane's flying along and suddenly there's like a pothole that you fall into. It doesn't really work like that. But the way the plane moves around within the air, it's already moving at nearly the speed of sound forward. And so it doesn't take much fluttering in the wings to make it change just a little bit, which is all it needs to become turbulent.
Even in an ideal world, though, James, if all the passengers have their seatbelts on, the flight attendants are always, or almost always, standing up and walking around. Like, how do airlines mitigate that risk? Do they have any special training, or do we just accept that they're going to hit the roof in instances like this?
No. Well, if we have any idea the cabin crew are going to be damaged, we don't let them out of their seats. And so we quite often modify the meal service by looking at the SIG weather prognosis charts significant weather is what the meteorologists determine for us, and they're pretty much spot on all the time. So we look at those before the flight and we'll say, listen, we're going to delay the meal service until we get past Phuket in this situation. We might do it a bit later. And the cabin crew, that they plan their service based on that. I've had a situation, the worst ever of my days was flying from Dubai down to Accra in Ghana in Africa. And after we passed Abu Dhabi for 9 hours, we had turbulence and the cabin crew weren't allowed out of their seats for the whole 9 hour flight. So these sort of these things happen. We don't let people walk around if we think it's going to be dangerous.
But clearly it happens without pilot's warning, as has happened, as is evident with this.
Yeah, it's pretty rare, but it does happen.
I want to just quickly go back to this wake turbulence, because I'd never heard of that. So the slipstream that other aircraft create that can cause a bumpy ride for you, how do pilots keep track of that? Because like you said, this is a busy route. How do you know, and like what sort of time frame is it for that to dissipate after a plane's gone through an airspace?
About 5 minutes. It falls down at 500 feet per minute, and so you've got in your mind's eye, every time you see a plane, you can visualise in your mind's eye where it's going. And air traffic controllers, especially when we're moving around a high capacity airspace around like Melbourne Airport or Sydney Airport, the controllers are always making sure that we're not flying through each other's wake. It's a bit of an effort because the wind's making an effect and the wind's blowing it off track or on track. We also divert the track of the airplane off 1, 2, or 3 miles offset to the right of our track to mitigate this. And so depending on which way the weather's going, you'll find that the guys who fly the A380s, which are the biggest cause of wake turbulence because the heaviest airplane causes the heaviest turbulence, they'll put the airplane in a situation where it's less damage to other airplanes flying below it.
Always fascinating to chat with you. Just, shame it's under terrible circumstances today. Thanks for your time again, James.
My pleasure, Debbie. See you soon.
James Nixon there. He's a retired pilot from Emirates, which is why he's interesting to talk to, because he can tell us all this behind-the-scenes information and, of course, the exact details about what happened on this particular flight, the Singapore Airlines flight, will be revealed in time.